Feel like I have more time this time to say it's nice to be here. It really is. It's been a couple of years, and that's too long. I said that last time, but we both are making a commitment. It's not going to be that long. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. Isn't that good news? That is honestly some of the best news that a sinner could hear. God is faithful. Look at verse 4. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I feel like I could just stop. That is such good news. You know, we are so unfaithful. We are so unfaithful. I never cease to amaze me. We are so unfaithful. I was talking to a brother in Kingsport one time. We were talking about our lack, our insufficiency, our inability to be what followers of Christ ought to be. God's people. You know, we're supposed to be God's people. Think about that. We are supposed to be God's people. And we were talking about how pitiful our efforts are and how shameful they are and how shameful we are. And he said to me, thank God he is faithful. And I said, amen. Amen. How right you are. Thank God he is faithful. Verse 9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible dictionary says that the word faithful means worthy of trust, one that can be relied on. God is worthy of trust. God is one that can be relied on. The concordance says it means sure, true. Webster's dictionary says it means steadfast in affection or allegiance, firm and in adherence to promises. What that means is if he loves, he will keep on loving. If he loves, he will keep on loving. If he promises, he will do it. Don't you love knowing that everything that he said in this book is absolute, firm, truth, ordered, sure, done, no changing? If he promised, he'll do it. He said in Isaiah 46, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. God is faithful. God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promise. He is faithful to his people. And I want to take just a minute tonight to see what he has promised to be faithful in. In His Word, what has He promised to His people to be faithful in? We're going to just read a few scriptures together. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." That blesses my heart so much. How can a sinner keep the commandments of God? Only in Christ. Outside of Christ, all have sinned and broken His commandments. So the Lord God made a covenant. The Father promised to choose a people. The Son promised to die for those people, to pay that redemption price for those people. The Spirit promised to call all of those people. It was a covenant of mercy. Mercy for sinners that did not deserve mercy. Those are the only people that receive mercy. Those who do not deserve mercy. God made a covenant of mercy. It was a covenant of redemption from sin. Redemption from condemnation. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a promise of salvation for sinners. And He said, "I will keep my covenant. I am going to keep my covenant." If He did not say that, I think I would despair from a lack of hope, because I don't give Him any reason to keep His covenant. I provoke Him. I am so ashamed of everything concerning me. And the only thing that I have to go on is, He said, "I will keep my covenant. I made a promise to save you, and I'm going to save you." He is God. He said, "I am God. And if I said I'll do it, I'll do it. I'm going to keep my covenant." And He said right here, "I'm going to do it not because of you. I'm going to do it because of me." Look at verse 1 right here. Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, then thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire." Verse 11 right here says, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." Did they do that? If we know anything about what happened to them, did they do that? Here's the answer. No, they didn't. He said, "This is what I command you to do." Did they do it? No. No, they didn't. But look at verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. He said, know that the Lord your God is God. And if he says he will keep his covenant, he will keep his covenant. That's amazing. He made a covenant concerning his people. That covenant was not dependent on his people. It was not conditioned on his people. That covenant was in spite of his people. It was a covenant to love his people. It was a covenant to redeem his people. And he said, I'm going to do it. Not because of you, but because of me. He'll do it because he's faithful. Hebrews 6, I absolutely love this. It says, because he could swear by no greater. And I don't think anybody ought to say, I swear to God. I think it's blasphemous for anyone to say that. There's only one man who could say that. And that one man said, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He said, I swear to God, I will save you. I love that. He swore to himself. He will not break his promise to himself. He is faithful. He'll keep his promise. He'll show mercy to his people because he's faithful. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 24, it says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He made a promise to have mercy on his people, and he will show it. He made a promise to call his people, and he will call them. He will call every single one of his people. He will call all of them to himself. Look at verse 23 right here. He said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will call his people to purity, to holiness, to spotless innocence. He will sanctify his people. Sanctify them wholly. He will preserve every one of them holy, blameless unto the day of his coming. He faithfully will do that for every single one of his people. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He will establish you and keep you from evil. He will have mercy on you. He will wash you. He will keep you. He shall. Look with me at 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, we didn't believe in the first place. That faith that we have, that was not of ourselves, that was of him. He gave it to us. He authored it. He performed it. He finished it. We didn't believe in the first place. The only way any sinner can believe on him is if he abides faithful in providing faith to believe on him. And thank God he will do that for all of his people. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And Christ will supply it. He will produce it in his people. And he'll keep on producing it in his people. He will give it to his people, and he'll keep on giving it to his people. His disciples asked him, Lord, increase our faith. And he would. And then he would say to them, are you yet without faith? What happened to the faith I just gave you? And then he would give more faith. And he gives more faith. And he gives more grace. Gives more faith. We look away, and he turns our eyes back to him. We look away, and he turns our eyes back to him. And let me tell you how the rest of our life is going to go. We're going to look away, and he's going to turn our eyes back to him. And then we're going to look away, and he'll turn our eyes back. God is faithful. He is so faithful. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He will not deny himself in his desire to cause his people to look to him. He will not deny himself in keeping his people looking to him. He is faithful. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daily. He did that eternally, and he'll do that daily. We need it daily. What he's done for us eternally, we need him to do that for us daily. He saved us. I need him to save me. Every day. Lord, save me today. Save me right now. Forgive me right now. I need forgiveness right now. I needed forgiveness then. I need it now. I'm going to need it tomorrow. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Somebody asked me one time, if God's people are forgiven, why are they constantly crying, forgive me? I said, it's because they're constantly sinning against him. He forgave every sin in the blood of his cross, and it's done. But I have to live it out, and it feels awful. And I'm constantly saying, forgive me. Forgive me, please. Verse 7 right here says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that means the truth. And you know what the truth is? I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every time that we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to remind us that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, has cleansed us from all sin. We sin against him and we say, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And his Spirit takes this word and reminds every child of God, the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you from all of your sin. This is one of my favorite stories to tell. This is taken from a message by Charles Spurgeon, one of the messages of his that was written out. He said, during this last week, I have been with Brother Offord conducting prayer meetings, and he told one evening a tale, which I made him tell every evening afterwards, for I thought it so good. Charles Spurgeon used to preach most nights. He would preach most nights of the week somewhere. So this man went with him, and one night this man told a story, and Spurgeon loved him, loved it. He made him tell it all week, everywhere they went. He said, there was a poor man living on Dartmoor who had been employed during the summer in looking after horses and cows and so on that were turned out on the moor. I don't know what that means, but I can imagine. He was a perfect heathen and never went to a place of worship. Perhaps since he was a child. For him, there was no Sabbath. After a time, he grew very ill. He was over 60 years of age, and having nothing to live upon, he went into the workhouse. I don't know what that is. While he was there, it pleased the mysterious spirit to make him uneasy as to his soul. He felt that he must die. And the old man had just enough light to let him see that if he did die, all was wrong with regard to a future state. He had a little grandchild who lived in a neighboring town, Plymouth, I think it was. He asked leave for his grandchild to come in every day to see him. As he was very ill and near death, that was allowed. She came in and he said to her, read the Bible to me, dear. She complied. And the more she read, the more wretched the old man grew. Read again, said he. The more she read, the more dark his mind seemed to be with a sense of guilt. At last, one day, she came to that passage in the first epistle of John. You know it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Is that there? He asked. Yes, grandfather, replied the little girl. That is there. Is that there? Oh, yes, grandfather, it is there. Then read it again. Read it again. She again read, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My dear, are you sure it is just like that? Yes, grandfather. Then read it again, dear. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Then, he said, take my finger and put it on that verse. Is it on that text, child? Is my finger on that blessed text? Yes, grandfather. Then, said he, tell them, alluding to his friends, that I die in the faith of that. And he closed his eyes and doubtless entered into eternal rest. And I will die in the faith of that truth by the grace of God, and so will you, I trust, brethren and sisters, die with your finger on that text. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is faithful. And every child of God can say, I am a sinner. And he has promised that his blood is able to and already has, by faith given from him, already has cleansed me from all my sin. And he's given me faith to believe that. In his faithfulness, he's given faith to believe that. I believe him. By his grace, I believe on him. And I die in the faith of him. I die in the faith of his faithfulness. Is that not what we're dying in? The faith of his faithfulness. The hope of his faithfulness. The truth of his faithfulness. In closing, go with me back to 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank God he is faithful. Amen.